Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show, The Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy. I host the show. Today, I have another great guest. His name is George, and I'm going to let him pronounce his last name because it looks a little confusing, and I don't want to mispronounce it. So, hi, George. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nancy. Thanks for having me on the show. That's George L. Presley, and just think Elvis Presley, and it comes right off your tongue.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of cool. It doesn't spell like that, but that's kind of cool.
Well, the name's actually designed and has a special meaning, and so hopefully that when people visually see it, it's actually meant to dispel karma and help people break through the limitations they have just simply by looking at that name. It took me 20 years to put it together.
That's kind of a cool story. George, do you think that people have a really hard time believing that they can really manifest to make their life the way they'd like it to be?
That sounds like an educated and experienced question. I'm really glad that you asked that because the answer to that question is yes. People have a really hard time believing, and they shouldn't. But it's very understandable why they do, and some of the reasons why they do are actually a little bit ugly and unfortunate in the sense that we all have different aspects of ourselves. Some more healthy than others, meaning, you know, the negative ego, which some people just call the ego.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from my understanding of the different aspects of conscious and unconscious selves that all make up the whole of who we are, that the ego is healthy and needed, but it's only supposed to be registering what's happening without any interpretation. So I'm walking down the street, it's a sunny day, there's cars parked on the side, oops, there's a car coming, the light is red. That is constantly a busy job for a healthy ego doing its thing. When it starts interpreting, now here comes someone down the street, oh, they're mad at me. That would be starting to be a distortion of a healthy ego and turning into what we pretty much usually all have is a negative ego who's dead set on only one thing, which is our destruction. And thus, you know, you hear people, I've heard people, teachers and so on, talk about how you need to kill your ego, and I don't think that's healthy, but I think it's coming out of the idea that there is a distorted aspect of the ego, which some people call the negative ego, which clarifies that it's distorted, and it really does have one vicious, cruel intention to ruin everything in your life, and certainly is not going to be interested or desiring you to learn mind power or manifesting. That would probably be one of the last things on its list that it would like you to do, is, or that part of you, really, which makes it so much more complicated. And this is probably the number one place where I work with my clients on getting to be able to cross the bridge of believing is to, because you see, you can talk and explain and do all kinds of stuff with somebody who's dead set from the point of view of their negative ego on making sure that that spiritual being, that human person, is not going to have this experience. It's totally different than a person who actually sincerely is ready to have the experience of manifesting, using their mind power or whatever method people use to have the experience that you imagine something, it's not in your life right now, and then it is in your life. And finally, the most important step of all, I think, is then recognizing that that thing that you once imagined is now in your life and being grateful for that or in some way accounting for the fact that it arrived. But nobody can get that far if their negative ego is standing in the doorway of that experience like a ball, like a bouncer in a bar,
mm-hmm.
or saying, you can't come in
right.
to this experience. And so that would probably be, hopefully, you know, the first thing that could be helpful to people is understanding that you have to look at yourself and see, is the reason why you don't believe or have trouble believing because you yourself won't allow yourself to try the experience and see if it really works or not. And when you do that, when you give yourself the opportunity to try it and test it and see if it works and start to have the experience, then the war with your negative ego starts to go in your favor because the proof is absolutely wonderful and very clear. And even though you can prove something and show it and feel it and still get attacked or doubts or feelings or anxieties, I mean, people can manifest a lot of money, for example, and then discover that that doesn't bring them the happiness that they thought it would, and yet they've still scored a manifestation if they've done it right.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas somebody who doesn't have a really good or reliable method of manifesting may, for example, manifest a larger paycheck or more sales or something quite spectacular in the money area and have their negative ego jump in and explain to them in distorted negative ego terms that it wasn't because of the imagining, it wasn't because of the technique, it wasn't because of that meditation, you know, and just explain it all away. And this actually became, in my practice, one of the number one concerns. Well, I'm so impressed you asked that question, that I see people do the manifesting because, you know, there are reliable methods, and that's one of the things that I specialize in. And so, of course, I have people manifesting, and I'm manifesting successfully. But then this thing comes up and, like, explains it away, even though it literally people manifest the man they're looking for. You know, some woman's looking for the dream man, manifest guys calling her up, inviting her on trips for a weekend just so she can choose which guy she wants to go with. I'm not sure if it's really working. So long explanation there, but very, you just went right to probably one of my most passionate subjects about helping people with this, is how to give yourself the experience and get out of, you know, standing back and talking about how it's probably not working or didn't work or isn't going to work. And it works. It's been around for, you know, ancient yogis mastered this kind of stuff, other religions and disciplines. It's just been esoteric, hidden, secret, not available to the general public. These kinds of people who are having the experience of all this don't even really use it for, you know, manifesting what they want. Those people were looking probably for certain kinds of enlightenment and connection with divine source from which all things come. Now, we're doing something different in the modern world with it now, trying to pay the bills and get a new car or start a business or have a relationship go differently. It's a whole different kind of project getting involved with manifesting in the year 2007 than it was, you know, any other time.
Do you think that as children we are kind of told, you know, don't think too high, don't try this, don't try that, and that has a lot to do with people believing that it can actually happen for them?
Well, that's a good question. So can you maybe, like, get into that a little bit more? I'm not exactly, I feel where you're coming from, but I want to get a little closer to...
Okay, for example, because I do a lot of readings, and a lot of the readings that I do, people will tell me, you know, that they didn't think that they could do something because of the way they had been raised, or they didn't want to be strange, or they didn't want to be weird. And people told them in their growing up time that, you know, don't set your goals too high because then you don't have to, you know, fall so far when you don't get it. Or, you know, people tell you to try this all the time, but, you know, I tried it and it didn't work. So as we're growing up, a child's mind is being given just tons and tons of different messages. More probably now than before, children are actually taught that they can have what they want, they can do what they need to do, they can get there. But we really weren't taught like that as children, you know, in our generation, because the other part of it, the negative part of it was, well, you know, so-and-so did it, but that doesn't mean you can. So just, you know, find yourself a job, you know, make ends meet. That's how people tend to grow up.
Okay, now I'm better tuned in, and I appreciate you going into more detail. Because, you know, we're having this conversation, and obviously the purpose of it is to help people to manifest things in their life. Isn't that right? That's why we're doing this?
Yes, we are.
You know, we want them to have an experience greater than the ones they've already had or have for the first time, the experience of doing this, which is really like crossing into another realm. It's like crossing the border from one country into another where all the customs and rules are different. And the social customs and rules that we were raised with, let's say, for example, somebody even went back 20 years from now when there was no cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed. There was no TVs, I don't think, before the 50s or something. It's things have really changed a lot, and the world as a whole meaning there are still many different countries and different customs. But as a whole, the world is evolving and changing and is the way it is now, which is very different than it even was in 1997, let alone 1947 mm-hmm. or 57 or whichever, you know, point in time you would want to go back to where your childhood started. You know, different people, different times. And so it's important to realize that the landscape, in the social landscape right now, I think, with in relationship to mind power, manifesting, metaphysics, meditation, all kinds of things, organic fruits and vegetables. I mean, in the 50s, people didn't talk about that, but they were probably more fresh, better fruits and vegetables coming out of the earth in the 50s than there are now from organic gardens in 2007. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just saying, you know, it's really important for people to make the adjustment that all of this metaphysical manifesting stuff is probably still something that's very new, like cell phones were or the internet was 10 years ago, let's say. Mm-hmm. I know about the internet. In 1995, I had a multimedia business, and people were really concerned of whether it was a good idea or not to put their business on the internet. Nobody was emailing like they do now, and so this is something new, and so therefore people have to decide, what kind of a person am I in the social structure of things? Am I the kind of person who likes to get involved with something, you know, when it's new, and then I'm, you know, when it gets to be something that everybody's doing, I'm really experienced at it? Or do I want to wait around until everybody else is doing it, and then I finally feel like it's safe for me to do it?
Okay.
Because what's happening right now, for example, with the Secret that's become so popular, the Secret DVD and mm-hmm. the movie that came out, is that a lot of people are looking at other people, you know, in the video, talking about how these kind of things are happening. You know, look, here's a dream board of the exact same house that I imagined, and now I'm living in it 5 years later. And people are more and more, a lot more people are hearing about this kind of stuff, but they're still not actually experiencing and doing it for themselves. They haven't crossed that boundary, that border, into the land of doing it. They're still in the land of being taught about it, learning about it, and that's fine. But I think that people who are, you know, really maybe, I don't even know how to invite somebody to say, why don't you be one of the people who's actually experiencing it? Because I've been experiencing it for about 20 years, consciously manifesting and creating success to the extent that I live my life like that. And I don't mean because I sell books on it or something. I mean, you know, getting by, everything that I need being provided by what I consciously imagined.
Okay.
And so I know that it's a different universe to live in. It's a different place in the world. If you're a doctor, you're going to have a different experience than if you're a garbage man. If you're somebody who's living by consciously creating success, using your inner resources, and then following that and what that guides you to do in the outer world, and living the miracles that brings about in your life, and hanging out with the people and learning, you know, that whole lifestyle, dealing with the fact that you might make money a lot easier than somebody who goes to work every day. Or your work that you go to every day feels like joy and pleasure, and someone else is still, you know, stuck, like you said, in those older beliefs, which are totally okay. See, it's a choice. It's not like one is better than the other. It's just, want to come and live like this? Or would you like to live like that?
Mm-hmm. And again, I think people need to be, you know, told and shown that they can do it, you know, because people are, they're very skeptical, number one, you know, and again, they have to let go of, as you call it, the negative ego, so they can allow their positive part to come through. So if somebody comes to you, George, and says, hey, I'm just really tired of living the way I'm living, and I really want to start my life in a better direction, what would be the first things that you would say to that person?
Well, it's a challenging situation that I've been presented with now for quite a few years. And at the beginning, I wanted to just run away. Because I had learned enough in my training in psychology, and then in the master's program was very private. I was taught like by shamans and things like that, more in that line of psychology, but very much like counseling psychology. Well, meanwhile, I was working and learning the manifesting and consciously creating success on my own. So by the time that people started coming to me and asking me that very same kind of question that you were just pretending to be someone doing that, I honestly just felt like, just leave me alone, get lost, and, you know, I'm busy creating, consciously creating success myself. I know it works, and I don't want to deal with the unconscious parts of that person, because it's the conscious part of the person that's coming to me and saying, hey, you know, here's my life now, and I'd like to, you know, live it better. This is why in the method, the Clear Talk Manifesting method that I developed, it starts off with getting people to put into thought forms the life they have right now, because that immediately handles the negative ego and various parts of the unconscious start to come into more of a supportive play. And it's something I recommend to people. If you're going to form thoughts about what you imagine, make sure and start off by forming thoughts about what's already happening in your life right now first. Because that, you know, I developed things like that because I did have a passion. And so that's what I tell people. You know, the answer to your question, to answer you more quickly, would be simply to tell a person, well, what's happening in your life right now? Mm-hmm. And they start to tell me. And I go, well, do you know that those words that you're speaking right now to me on the telephone or in person or writing me on email, those words that you're speaking are your thoughts about the life that you have right now. And those thoughts are connected to your beliefs and attitudes, your choices and decisions, and your feelings about the life you have right now. And there you are. That's you manifesting the life that you have right now. And you can, so that's the starting place. That's where I would start. And then I would lead them from there, depend, and maybe just guiding them to be more clearly forming the thoughts about the life they have right now before even stepping into the adventure of imagining something better.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's important for people, if they really want to try to manifest something or manifest it, that they give themselves a visual board like they use like in The Secret and stuff like that? How important do you think that is?
Well, I think it's, in my personal experience, the most effective thing of all. I developed something that's like an advanced dream board that I use for myself. I used to just do like a scrapbook, a big scrapbook with cutout pictures from magazines, and I would use my computer later on to make even more spectacular collages and print them out on big posters, and really, you know, had a lot of success with that, with words and pictures on a dream board. And then I had a multimedia company, so I started to, in my part time, use the software that we would use for presentations, which you could put pictures, sound, and video all together and compose it into one, you know, interactive presentation. And I started to do my workbook journaling in there in 2001. And by 2006, I developed a version of that that I felt was working like a charm and made it public to other people. But the thing about my experience about that, that I want to relate to your question about how important is it, is that sometimes the things that I would, you know, put into my workbook would manifest more profoundly or more effectively, or I would do tests, like I'd put crazy, wild things that you'd think could never happen just to test it out, and then it would come through in some form of manifestation. I'd put my favorite pop songs that I, you know, loved and felt the most as like the soundtrack for my computerized dream board that I was making. And I actually had to be careful after I had a few experiences with that, because it worked so well that the lyrics of the songs would be part of my manifestation. And so sometimes, you know, we like a song and it sounds really great, certain lines or the feeling we get or the music, but then it always has a few like really like killer lyrics in it that you didn't expect, you know, and she broke my heart, and you know, so, and then you get end up in a relationship and everything is exactly like the song and she breaks your heart. Mm-hmm. And you go, wow, you know, how about that? I guess I better switch the soundtrack next time. Now when I do it, I actually go online and check the lyrics of every single song and make sure that I want to manifest that, because dream boards work really, really well. Really well. But the thing is, and this goes right back to the beginning of the conversation, what good is it if you have something that works really well? It'll just make it worse for you. if you're doubting and all of that. Do you see what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how good it is. In fact, the better it is, the worse it'll be.
Right. See, I believe that people are very visual, and I mean, you can hear yourself talk all day long, but if you have somebody who thinks that they know what they sound like and you record them and you set them down in front of you and you play that recording for them, chances are they don't even recognize their voice. So, you know, I am a very big believer that people seeing things, being, you know, using that visual part of themselves actually relates to the brain a lot quicker than the words they may be saying at first. And, you know, I may be wrong with that, but that's why I think that board, you know, the dream board that you're talking about, would be more helpful for people than maybe some of them sitting around and just saying some positive affirmations day after day and not quite getting into it because they're not really seeing it. And a lot of times if you don't see it, you don't feel it. You know, so I think the dream board works really well, but I think people, like you're saying, have to really decipher what they want. They just can't throw a bunch of things up there and then have the doubt that they're ever going to get it.
Yes, and, you know, you can throw a bunch of things up there, but then that's what you'll manifest. It's kind of a confusing, and you probably won't be able to hold the thoughts steady. This is, a dream board helps you hold your thoughts steady. Now, what happens, for example, is you might have a thought about, I want to have $1 million. And then you'll realize that you'd be happy with $100,000, actually. And then you realize that you're only making $25,000 a year right now, and in fact, $35,000 would be a nice increase. And, you know, as you're holding the thought that I have $1 million, or you might hold the thought that I have $1 million, and things will start coming to you, you know, ideas, and you might get involved with things and go to a workshop or something, and they actually show you how to make $1 million in real estate in 3 to 5 years. And you're like, I wasn't thinking 3 to 5 years, and I wasn't thinking about doing real estate. So that starts to make your original thought about making $1 million become unsteady. If you hold the thought that I have $1 million, it's definitely going to manifest for you, but the journey from the place where you first launch your thought or throw it up there, as you said, and get it to come true in real manifestation in your bank account or in your life or wherever it is, that's a journey. It goes from a point where you originally put the thought into form of a thought, and then you have to hold that thought steady and have a relationship with everything that you're already holding steady, which can be quite interesting.
So the emotions play a pretty big part with staying actually connected to it.
I think so, and a lot of other people do too. There's a lot of methods that are more primarily centered around the emotional. I feel that thoughts are key because thoughts have a vibrational quality that, in my experience, and I think you can find out if you study, that it's pretty well agreed upon that the thoughts are very high in the hierarchy of, let's say, you know, what controls the other layers and levels of the body and the human experience. But there is kind of a holistic relationship, and the feelings are almost like the juice or the power or the battery in a certain sense. And so you can get conflict between the thoughts and the feelings, which can really slow down manifestations or distort manifestations or even cause them to backfire, which is a common experience. People will put a thought out, clearly form a thought, hold the thought, and then probably because of the dynamic between the relationship of the feelings they have and the thought they're holding, you know, the feeling maybe is totally opposed to the thought that they've consciously formed, and they'll literally get like an opposite manifestation of what they were looking for.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wanted to, you have a method it's like a 7-part course.
There's an e-book, and the e-book takes people from square one up to learning the Clear Talk Manifesting Method, which is basically just like a condensed version of reading 30 or 50 books and about manifesting and pulling it all together into application. The method is very low on explanation and very high on application. And people all over the world have told me that they've studied and read all the other books, or a lot of the other books, and they list them off, and they say, but yours was the method that actually pulled it all together for me, you know, made it work, I actually started getting results. So it's more a method about applying all this stuff about mind power and manifesting, and it's not so much about explaining about it.
Okay. If somebody wanted to get your ebook, how would they do that?
Just go to focusyourmindonhappiness.com, And you can download the first chapter for free, and it has an exercise in it called the win list, which a lot of people just use that and get good results because, you know, like I said, it's about application, so we get people started right away in the first chapter.
Okay, now repeat it one more time so the people who are listening can get it.
FocusYourMindOnHappiness.com.
And if they would like to speak with you, is there like a phone number there, or would you like to give that out?
Well, if people want to speak to me, they can probably reach me through email, because then I have a chance to screen people and see, you know, how can I best help them and direct them and so on. And you can email me from my website also at FocusYourMindOnHappiness.com. You can also send an email to George@MagicalMindPower.com. That gets through to me as well.
Okay, now please repeat all of those again so that people, if they're writing it down, they have time to write them down.
Absolutely. Well, FocusYourMindOnHappiness.com is the website to go and get the free chapter of the ebook and find out a little bit more about it. And if you'd like to email me, you can email me at either from the FocusYourMindOnHappiness.com website or email to George, J-O-R-J, at MagicalMindPower.com.
Okay. If somebody, again, when somebody wants to talk to you, they can do it by phone, or do they have to be, you know, in person with you?
Oh, I do all kinds of work by phone and probably less work in person. I'd like to work more in person, but the way that it works out is that because of the nature of the work that I do is more about getting people to get results and to apply the mind power stuff and get the experience of having it work, it just happens that the best thing for people to do, if they're going to roll up their sleeves and get down to it, is get started with the materials that I offer, because then they start getting the results really quickly, and the people who usually want to talk or that kind of stuff, they usually just want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the people that relate to me are usually more, and the people that I'm interested in are the ones who actually want to do it, and then for them, the fastest way is for them to get the materials and get started. I do offer some sessions that I do with people, but usually those are for people who are already know the method and are more advanced and ready to, you know, have some movement at a higher level. And so I do a destiny analysis session and a focus on Jupiter session, things that are, you know, pretty out there and esoteric, but very helpful to people who know the clear talk manifesting method.
Mm-hmm. George, why would you focus on the Jupiter one more than any others?
Well, people in the, you know, that we're relating to want to manifest material things. Jupiter, of course, is also ruling over the ninth house, and that's about spiritual matters and learning philosophy and things like that. Jupiter is known for thousands of years to be the planet that where your finances come from. So wherever your Jupiter influences are in your astrology and in your destiny cards, which is a system of the regular playing cards, is like astrology. It tells you which card you're born under. I'm a Jack of Clubs, for example. That tells you, when you look at what's that person's Jupiter card, it will tell you where finances will most easily flow into their life. You know, what's the best places for them to focus on? And when you look at their yearly astrology cycles, Jupiter cycles about every year through one of the astrological houses. And if you can show the person, you know, how to look that up for themselves online and how to track Jupiter through the houses each year, that will be what those houses are about, is where their money will more easily come or where they'll be financially blessed that year. And so, you know, I kind of think that it's the nature of Jupiter, the great benevolent planet, you know, as it's known in Vedic astrology. The great, you know, malefic is Saturn, and the great benevolent planet is Jupiter. Jupiter is where the blessings come from, and that's a lot of what people are looking for in the manifesting, is exactly what Jupiter is about. And also, because the whole thing is about focusing your mind, and not just my thing, but the whole mind power and manifesting thing is, you know, you more and more of what you focus on. That's the mantra that you can remind yourself, more and more of what you focus on. Whatever it is you focus on, you attract more and more of it. So I thought, why not focus on the great benevolent financial blessing planet
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That is a good one. If somebody wanted to figure out what card they were, when you talk about the destiny card, if they wanted to figure that out, how would they do that?
Oh, well, you can go to destinylovecards.com, which is a site that I made about the destiny cards. In the top left corner, there'll be a link to go to Robert Camp's site. He's the current master in the whole world of the destiny card system. And he has a little software that you can use for free to calculate what your birth card is. And if you want, on destinylovecards.com, you can get a more extensive report from me. You can order it. But for free, you can go to Robert Camp's site through destinylovecards.com. And it's actually very profound to know what that card is, because my experience over the last 4 years, when people find that out, it kind of hits you at first maybe and then sinks in deep, and it really can help immediately put you in a better alignment with your life path.
Anything that can help people, you know, understand that they really can have what they want is always worth checking into. So the more information that people can get for that, in my opinion, I think the better. You know, we're, like you said earlier, we're going through this phase where every, you know, things are happening much quicker now than they have, you know, in almost any past years. And I think that people need to understand that as long as they stay with the focus, that they really can have what they are trying to manifest. But they have to do that focus, because they can't start it and then, you know, stop it and then, like you said, change your mind. You start with $1 million and you work down to $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that focus point of what people really need to do and to stay with, I really think is very, very important for people to understand.
Well, the bottom line is that manifesting with mind power, you know, living a miraculous life where you imagine what would be, you know, great for you, and then you actually have that show up and happen reliably enough that you can live like that, you can count on that and feel secure in that, is much more difficult in one way than people make it out to be. And it's actually very simple at the same time. The difficulty comes because there are phenomena that occur, in my experience, when you're actually doing it successfully, which makes you even sort of, you know, like you were saying before, not feel socially acceptable or not feel like in line or in harmony with what you were told that you should do when you were a kid or something like that. So there's challenges that arise. If somebody just hands you the method and goes, here, take this, do these exercises, do this method, keep doing it every day, you'll get results. And here's how to track your results and make sure you're getting results. I mean, that's what I do, so I know. And people still have all kinds of challenges and issues arise about living that way. It's the same as somebody who maybe becomes famous or successful. And as we all know, you know, watch biography on TV or any other ways that we get in touch with famous people's lives, things, you know, can become challenging.
Mm-hmm. One of the movie stars named Jim Carrey, the comedian, the one that did The Mask and all that.
Yes.
He was interviewed, and he told the story about what he had done for himself. And I think when people heard his story, they were kind of surprised because, you know, he's always doing a lot of strange, goofy things. And in reality, he truly is a genius in his own, you know, in his own way. But what he had done was he actually wrote out a check to himself for $1 million. He dated it, and he signed it. He didn't go to cash it until the date that was supposed to be, whatever he wrote. And the way it turned out was on that day, he actually signed his $1 million contract with one of the movies.
Yes. And there's so many great stories, and I'm, you know, we should all be grateful to him for, you know, making that public, because it's very, very inspiring. And, you know, all I could say is, it definitely works. His experience and what he did is how he did it. You know, he had how many years that he held that in his wallet, which shows a tremendous amount of focus and determination. And I think that in his career, for people who know and study the path that he took from the time that he wrote that check to the time that he cashed that check, he probably, you know, did a lot of things. But the focus that he had in his wallet was very exact and very solid, and he probably put the date quite some time ahead in the future from when he wrote it, it seems to me, from what I've heard about it. And, gave himself enough time, or it just happened to be, or he got the right guidance on what date to put on that check or something like that. However it worked out, there's a process for him in that case from where he wrote the check to where he cashed the check. And in that process, you know, a lot of people would have got rid of the, ditched the check, given up the focus, you know, at the various, what I call preliminary manifestation stages, you know, where maybe he got his first really good paying job. It wasn't $1 million, and forget about the $1 million check, you know, I'm happy with this. Like, he stuck to it, and that's a wonderful example. And he held the exact same thought, because in the sense it was the exact same check. Very focused thought. Wasn't like a big description of how he was going to get the $1 million. It just, that's what's going to happen. And that's when it's going to happen. And then the thought literally guides your actions. In his case, it seems to me that he was pushed from the power of that thought into all kinds of life situations where, you know, he engaged those situations and did what he had to do. Probably lots of times not even thinking consciously about that check, but just pursuing and pursuing and pursuing and working and working and doing what he was doing. And then, you know, he arrived at his destination. That's how it works.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was really great when he was telling the story, because, again, most people would look at him and they would probably never think or believe that this man, who is his, you know, a total comic, could ever stay that focused and keep that thought with him at all times. So when I heard that story, I thought, man, give this guy a hand, because that's, you know, that's pretty impressive that, you know, he was able to do that.
Well, it's well known from what I've heard that people who write down their goals have a much higher success rate of achieving those goals than people who don't. That's one of the reasons why dream boards work, because you're actually externalizing and holding a record of it, and it makes very practically the thought easier to hold. You know, putting something in your mirror is great, you know, but how long are you going to put it in your mirror? Be careful. You know, if you're making $25,000 a year and you put I make $1 million a year in your mirror, you're going to have that in your mirror maybe for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's fine. But a lot of people will just get tired of it and probably, you know, pull it down. And so, you know, it's important to write down your goals, but then also to have a relationship to how is what you wrote down changing your life step by step. That's a thought, that's a frequency, that's a vibration, that's resonating and having an influence on all the rest of you and your whole situation and everything in your life. It's not necessarily, do you write it on your mirror tonight, you wake up tomorrow morning and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen and does happen. But it's more like a vibrational frequency is being established between you and this thought, your conscious thought, and the rest of your life. And then a process starts to unfold.
Which is, again, you know, you got to keep following it. I also have another question for you, George. When people have, you know, the idea of what they want to manifest,
mm-hmm.
did they actually go tell other people what it is?
Oh, should they do that?
Mm-hmm.
This is a great question. I mean, I'm used to do groups. We'd have small groups in people's living rooms and things like that about early 90s. Very effective and very successful. We would just pretty much have people go around the circle and say some of the things, like one or two things. You're in a group, you know, you don't have time for everybody to say everything, but somebody would say, oh, I want to meet a new guy, or, you know, somebody wants more money, or whatever the case might be. And then I would get the other people to just sort of make some comments, just what was in their head about, you know, in relation to what they were saying. And that was a very focused, you know, and I was there being very careful to manage and monitor, you know, where people were coming from when they were relating to the other person's
mm-hmm.
thoughts, because it's very impactful what other people think and say. And they don't even have to open their mouth. They can just, you know, have an
mm-hmm.
attitude or a look or a feeling or just simply knowing about it changes the alchemy, so to speak, the vibrational chemistry, if you will, the electronics of, you know, the energy that you're building and creating around what you want to imagine or what you are imagining, what you're wanting to have come into reality. And so it can be beneficial to share with other people. And practical everyday advice is that it's probably more usually detrimental.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, again, will sit there and go, well, Why would you want something like that? Do you really think you're going to get that? Or, you know, somebody told me about that a long time ago, and you know, it didn't work for them. So, you know, why do you think it might work for you? You know, and that's what people will tend to hear when they want to tell somebody about what their thought is or what they're trying to manifest. So unless you're in a like-minded group, it sounds like it's better off for the person who's doing the manifesting to not necessarily broadcast what they're doing.
Generally speaking, that's a good rule of thumb, but you can also get tremendous help from the right people and from sharing and masterminding and networking and working with the right people. You know? But there was something about that, though, which is really important that perhaps we could help people with a little bit from a different angle. And I'm just keep slipping out of my consciousness here, but it's really something I'd like to share.
Okay.
Let's see. So we're talking about people sharing with other people. Okay, here it is. It's that it's important to remember that the life that you have right now, whoever you are, wherever you are, you know, Nancy, your life, my life right now, this is the one that we are successfully manifesting right now. Maybe we're not manifesting it consciously, or maybe we're somewhat consciously, somewhat unconsciously. However we're doing it, the life that we have right now, not the one we're telling other people we are imagining having, This is the one that's got all the main magic working for us. You see what I mean? Like, the power is here, right now, in the life that I'm manifesting and you're manifesting and the people listening to the show are manifesting. Like, if you have a job right now, you're really good at manifesting that job. If you have a family or a relationship or situation, that's what you're the best at manifesting. Nancy and I are great at manifesting being on a radio show on the internet. We've done that tonight very successfully. The point that I'm making is you want to be even more careful than telling other people. You want to be careful to make a very clear distinction between that reality that you are manifesting and that the one that you imagine manifesting is that. It's imagination. That's what you don't have, what you're wishing you had, what you are desiring or thinking about that you'd like to have, but you don't have it right now. It's a totally separate world. It's, I call it in your own universe. People normally call that your imagination. People who are, you know, not happy about it will call it you're in dreamland, you're in fantasy. You know, other people will judge and criticize it even worse than that. But if you understand and almost like draw a circle around yourself in a metaphorical way by declaring to yourself or other people when you're sharing with them that you are imagining, literally saying those words, then you draw the separation boundary between the place of your imagination and the real world, and suddenly it can be actually quite safe and quite wonderful to share with other people. If you simply just are saying, you know, you could say, I've got this job right now and this is my paycheck right now, and I really would like to, you know, I read some manifestation techniques and I think I'm going to use them and try and get a, you know, a bigger paycheck, and suddenly, you know, all kinds of terrible resistance can come at you from other people and so on. But if you say, I have this job right now and I learn these manifestation techniques and I imagine that I have a 10% increase in my paycheck, or I imagine that I have a new job that pays me twice as much, as long as you say those magical words, I imagine, before you tell someone, it's a world of difference. You get, like, you're safe. You can say anything you want, practically. You should try it sometime. If you just say, I imagine, before you declare what it is that you imagine, in a normal conversation with a friend or someone, and then you are discussing your goals or your dreams or whatever that is that you're focusing on there, then suddenly you're safe, and they can actually give you completely different feedback. It's really a wonderful experiment. Just say, I imagine. I use in my own universe because there's magical reasons why I think that's more powerful. But I imagine works very well. It's like drawing a magic circle around yourself that gives you protection with your sacred space of what you imagine, your precious heart and soul dream and goal of what your future is that you imagine is best. And it's important to keep that safe, and there's ways of keeping it safe, like I just said, and you can talk to people about it.
Yeah, and I think people really, they need to talk about it. I don't I don't think that they need to necessarily keep it so locked up in themselves, which is what a lot of people do because they're afraid of what so-and-so may say or what so-and-so may think.
Yes, that's because, again, back to our, earlier in our conversation, we should remember that 100 years ago, Charles F. Honnell, for example, was, you know, offering the master key system, which is a very excellent early version of the kind of things that are available now or kind of things that I offer to help people, like a course. But that was only available to very select businessmen who knew of him, and they were all in a certain strata of society. I think before him, only kings and queens and certain really upper people could have this information at all. Even sometimes kings and queens couldn't get it. You know, it was people, yogis and things living in forests, and they wouldn't use it for the kind of things that we would like to use it for now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're beginners, really, right now. We're, like, at this place in time where it's just becoming socially, publicly available, this knowledge and this information to the masses about how and what this is and that it works and how to do it and so on. And so we have to consider that, you know, for example, do I tell people or do I not tell people? Well, actually, it's not that big of a deal if you do it right. Like I said, if you just say, I imagine before you tell somebody, and you always make sure and say, I imagine every single time, and don't mix up between what's actually happening and what you're imagining. Just keep it clear, keep it super, super clear every single time. You can go and tell everybody you want what you're imagining, you know, to within limitations. You don't tell certain people certain things that you're imagining. But basically, you know, speaking. And if you don't follow that rule or find a similar rule, then you'll have all kinds of heartbreak and nightmares probably, and resistance, at least we could say, of sharing your goals and dreams. And so just learning something like that is the kind of thing that we're all learning because we're still at an early beginner stage of having this be in the public knowledge, I think.
Mm-hmm. Could you please give out the website again and also the name of your ebook?
Well, actually, the system, the ebook evolved into a full system. The ebook is like the course that gets you to learn the Clear Talk Manifesting Method, and Life Transformation System Z is the method, the system, the method, and the tools, and the live coaching teleseminars all in one package that is actually almost the same price as the ebook and way better and includes the ebook and the workbook software, and that's at magicalmindpower.com. And for people who would like to just get the ebook and get started with that, that's at focusyourmindonhappiness.com.
Okay. And they can get to you also through either one of those websites?
Yes. My emails are on both of those websites.
Okay. Do you think it would be valuable for schools to be teaching these different methods of manifestation to the students?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it would be valuable. And in a lot of ways, schools are already teaching many of the things because in school you write things down. In school you have to focus more than you normally do. So like in business, the people are ready and getting ready for all of this. You know, it's probably already I know school teachers who take my method into the classroom and ask me if it's okay if they share it with their students in different countries around the world.
Mm-hmm. What age do you think would be a good time to help children to know that they can start to manifest?
Oh, well, I mean, I can't advise anyone on anybody who's, you know, under the age of 18. But if I, you know, had my own children now and I, you know, just they were just being born, I would be teaching it to them from as soon as I was teaching them anything else. They'd probably be teaching me, too.
I was going to say, they'd probably give you a lot, too. Now, I think it really is important that children, especially children of today, you know, learn that they have this capability. They know that it's there. It just has to be explained so that they understand it. And I think it's important that they try it, and I think it's important that they don't give up. And I think they need to have the encouragement. And a lot of times they don't necessarily get the encouragement that they need, but I think that if the schools will at least, you know, maybe explain it a little bit more, or if they know how, I should say, explain it a little bit better to them, maybe they would understand that it's everything is kind of at their fingertips. All I have to do is just reach out there, stay focused, and get it.
Yes, if some different parents can, you know, start relating to their children that way, I do predict that probably what more will happen is that the children, that the parents are learning this kind of stuff in order to be able to relate to their younger children who actually already are coming in probably knowing and having an aptitude for doing this kind of stuff more than the parents do. And the parents are actually getting up to speed to relate to their children. And then, you know, in reverse, the parents, you know, might have a book laying around the house or something that the child, you know, gets involved with at a super early age. And or the mother or the father teaches them something or a technique or something when they're very young. And I would probably, the children will have more success with than the parents did and start challenging, like indigo children, you know, have been known to do, challenging their teachers, challenging their parents with their abilities and their gifts. And the challenge is that to be humble in the face of possibly a greater power emanating from your child than you are, someone who can manifest money better than you can. And, you know, I read about a 15 or 16-year-old boy who got his first $6 million investment money for a company, a computer game company in Silicon Valley, you know, the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the kids are going to be able to do stuff that, and probably can already do stuff, that if the parents, you know, give them a little assistance, the kids can do more than the parents can. And that could be humiliating and challenging and difficult for adults who think, well, I'm the mother, I'm the father, I'm the teacher, this is the way, this is the system, this is how we do it, you know, you little brat, stop, you know, arguing and fighting back. If we open up at the level of not just, oh, those are cute little children, but like, these are beings who have incarnated after us, who, it seems to me, the younger generations are usually more advanced than the older generations.
Mm-hmm.
So like, hello, who do we, you know, there's a give and take. I mean, we are here longer than them and we have access to certain things, but I think we should be supporting our children and learning from our children as much as we're, you know, especially at this time when we've shifted into the Aquarian age and things are happening very, very differently, more and more, and the problems of the world, this, you know, need to be solved in different ways with new solutions. You know, there's all kinds of a need to do things differently, and sort of telling people that the only way to go is the old system is obviously not the only way to go. And that could be a damaging thing for a child, to be forced to do something that, you know, they're not given the opportunity to explore their gifts in maybe a more effective way.
Yes, see, I'm working on a new thing called the School of Now.
Oh.
Which is actually using all the metaphysical techniques, knowledge, and ability to help these children understand kind of what they really do have inside themselves and to be very conscious of it and not be afraid to show it or to use it as long as it's in a healthy way.
Yes, well, not being afraid, absolutely, because the system that we have right now can be pretty scary sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone who's manifesting money as an adult and didn't ever, you know, as a spiritual person maybe didn't really learn much about taxes, for example, or how to do accounting, that's the old system or the current existing system. Nothing wrong with it. It's just the existing system, just the same way as a parent is the representative of the system to the child. And so it can be frightening. You know, you manifest a whole bunch of money and then you're like, gosh, you know, what about my taxes? What about accounting? I don't know anything about that. And actually you can go learn and be very comfortable with that. But at that moment, you know, you're manifesting money so quickly. I heard of a company that a couple of guys, they got together, they started selling something. They made suddenly, you know, $5,000 a day, $200,000 a month. One of the partners quit. Because he said, we're making money too fast. And he got paranoid about the IRS and about things that were not real. But, you know, these are the kind of phenomena that can happen for adults when you're using this kind of technology. Imagine for a child who's possibly and potentially more capable of using this kind of, you know, mind power technology that we have available now. Put it in their hands and they're a child. Gosh, it could be very scary.
Mm-hmm. And I really think that a lot of these children that are here today, they need to know that they really are okay, not necessarily put on all the drugs because they're being told you can't focus, you have this, you have that, you know. I have a big discrepancy with all that kind of stuff. And on my shows, I talk about it because I'm not afraid to talk about it, where a lot of people are, because I think it's not the way things should be done. But you know what? Our time is almost up. I just looked at it.
Oh, wow. Oh, time flies.
Yeah, time flies, especially when you're having a really good time. So before we really go off air, can you give out the websites one more time to get a hold of you or your book?
Sure. Life Transformation System Z is the whole system, method, and tools that you can get right down to it and get this under your belt, how to manifest with your mind power. And that's at magicalmindpower.com. And the book that started that, the e-book that you can download, is at focusyourmindonhappiness.com.
Okay. And again, if they'd like to speak with you, they can do it through that.
Yes, because typically I'll screen people before I talk to them in person, and it's very rare that I actually do private sessions with people.
Okay. And to find out what card they are, they can go to the website again, destinylovecards.com?
Yes, and there's a link there to Robert Camp's site, and he has a software online that you can find out what your destiny card is.
And again,
for free.
That's very important, and real quickly before we go off, tell people why again.
Well, the Destiny Card System is, here's some challenge for people, the belief system, is based on the regular playing cards, and they came out before ancient Egypt and originated, the story is, in Atlantis, legendary Atlantis. So the system's been around for a long time, and, you know, it's really important and good to get in touch with that, because it's very helpful to get you lined up to what it is that you're here to do in this life and what are your strengths and weaknesses.
And that's very important for people to know that.
It's so important. For example, quickly, someone who's a five of clubs is not usually someone who... Five of clubs are all about, you know, having different experiences. And so they're not known for being committed to anything and not relationships. So you could have somebody come to you and who doesn't know about their destiny cards and be, how come I just can never settle down into a steady relationship? And you look at their card and you go, well, you're five of clubs. You didn't come here to settle down in a steady relationship. And if you want to, then that's going to be a real challenge for you. So knowing that kind of thing about yourself can be enormously helpful in your manifesting. You know, you can find out what your gifts are, and you can find out what your weaknesses, your strong points and your weak points, and then you can make better choices about the timing and what exactly is right for you to manifest in line with your own path that you chose or are on here this time as a spiritual being having a human experience.
All right. I'd like to thank you, George, for being on the show. This is very enlightening, and I'm sure people will, you know, download the free party book and probably get you more. So thanks for being on the show.
Oh, you're so welcome, Nancy. It's a pleasure to spend time with you, and it's nice to meet you.
Great. You take care.
Thank you.
And, of course, thank all the listeners for listening to us. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and take care.